All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1131 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, July 21st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. Very, very excited. I've been jazzed all day for a couple of reasons. One, I knew I was going to get to spend some time with the Ohana tonight, plus some stuff that is in the fire. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but again, welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers. And again, those of you that don't know what Ohana means, it means family. Welcome to the family of listeners of the Geek News Central podcast. And because you're a brand new listener, I want to make sure you take some time and get over to the home front where everything happens. Once you go over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the show by subscribing to it. And that way you'll never miss a single episode, either via iTunes, Android, by email, via Google Play, on Stitcher, or use a standard RSS feed, one of the many dozens of podcatchers that are out there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just click on the more subscription options. Now, there's something new on the page. And if you'll notice, those of you that are watching, there's something called Geek News Central Radio. And this is a brand new thing that is on the website. We're going to be in about 20 different devices. And actually, it's going to be Kindle Fire on Sonos, on Bose, on Aha, on TuneIn, on VTuner, on Shoutcast, on Xeno Live, Xbox One, on Stream Guys, on iHeartRadio. We're going to be in all those locations with this show on a linear stream. That's a little bit different than the podcast. In other words, if you click on that player, you're going to join the show in progress. And what we do is we put the last three episodes in a loop. And that's you're going to start seeing more information about that. And the best thing is it's going to be on all these other devices that we're not on already. Hey, one thing too, while you're at the website, make sure that you subscribe for the newsletter. You'll find that link right, again, a little bit further down under important links, and get connected with the show. Don't ever miss an episode. There's really absolutely no excuse, because we are everywhere. You can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV, on Amazon Echo, by Town Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name, on Stitcher, on Blueberry, everywhere that you have a device, whether you're at work, home, play, in the car, on the bus, on the subway, you can get the show, and that's the most important thing. We don't care how you listen, as long as you do. But if you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send an email. At Geek News is the Twitter account. Of course, you can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. Just search my name, Todd Cochran. Again, definitely check out all our partner shows as well. The New Media Show with Rob Greenlee and I, Pro Gear Guru site, which is done by my writing team, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Main. Matter of fact, I was talking with Don a few days ago. Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. So lots to do on Geek News Central, lots to listen to. And you can fill up 3, 4, 5 hours, maybe 6 a week of content, all the tech geek stuff you want. Now, if that isn't enough, you can go over to techpodcast.com and grab the show over there. That's a great way to stay connected with really all the greatest family-safe tech shows that are out there. Of course, this show would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the show. 11 years, July 2005, they've come on board. They have not missed a single show or a single month in that entire time. So I think that basically sets them as the world record holder for having the longest continuous sponsorship on a show. Again, get over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where all the savings begin. And really want you to do, what I want you to do here is understand that the promo codes at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy keeps my podcast online, keeps my writing team employed, keeps the lights on, not literally because the solar panels actually do that now, but everything that we do here is because of GoDaddy, and when you use one of my codes, you're supporting the show in a big, big way. And there's 30% off new product purchases, so you can get a .com for 99 cents. You can get website builder, economy hosting, or managed WordPress site, all starting at $1 a month. Those all come with a free domain and plus some goodies here and there. So just come over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Either grab a code, cut and paste at checkout, or click through, which is the best way to do that. Click one of those links and take it with you. And basically always look at the data on what's going to happen after the 12 months or the special deals off, so that you know what your price of your product is going to revert to. I don't want any of you getting a surprise at the end of 12 months. That's not what we're here. It's not what we're all about. But today, and I do have to apologize for those of you that were watching on the last episode, were watching the stream. I had a young man not follow dad's instructions and it caused the YouTube video stream to be caca. So tonight everything is holding good. We're up on Facebook as well. So I think everything's tracking. So I got my fingers crossed that everything will stay in line, because we're pushing a lot of bandwidth. And if you're on Facebook watching us tonight, thanks for being here. Oh, there's someone at Comic-Con. Okay. I am not in Sandog. I know that many of you are, so I hope you're having a good time there. Hey, all right, let me go and look through my little short list here. Hey, just as a kind of a catch me up for all of you, we've had a little bit of a weather thing crop up here in Hawaii. We're expecting Monday. Right now, the track has a tropical storm going right over the top of Oahu, and they're expecting about 50-mile-an-hour winds on Monday. And I don't expect that to cause any issues. My electricity here is all underground. If there's enough sun out to keep the solar panels going, we'll be okay. But we'll see how the weather affects us on Monday. But going to bring us a lot of rain. I think that's the important part. We're going to be miserable up to it because the front that's coming through is pushing the humidity levels up. Feel sorry for the tourists more than anything, because for the next 3-4 days, it is not going to be sunny, beautiful Honolulu. It's going to be rainy. But for those of us that live here that like it when it rains, because it keeps our water bill down, the more rain, the better, to be honest with you. Been working this week real hard with my writing team and with the at Raw Voice, and we're making some big changes. And I'm probably going to record after the show tonight a 2 or 3 minute video explaining to the podcasters that we work with what we're changing. But we've had to make some significant change to the way we structure relationships with podcasters in regards to advertising. I talked a little bit on the last show, but it'll all be out early next week, and I'll be able to talk more freely. But any of you that are actually podcasters that listen to this show, I know many of you do the first 15 minutes or so, because sometimes I drop nuggets and stuff. But we are going to be making some big changes, and it is something significant for us. This is a big, big switch from what we've done in the past, but just had to do it. Along with that, I was talking with the team this morning on the phone. We've had a couple of interns this summer working in the office, and one of our interns is, man, he is just rocking it on putting some social stuff together for us that we've been had on the drawing table for a long time. And I'm speaking, I said, well, what's going on? This and this. And I'm like, you've gotten this far. That's working. Can I see the demo? And the next thing I know, I'm just about doing cartwheels here. And, you know, it's still got a ways to go, but it's a lot further down the road than what I would expect it. Got me really excited. As a matter of fact, I posted a post this morning as I was going to a meeting and in my car, and then put it up on Facebook. But, man, some cool stuff coming. It's really rocking. But personally, it's been a Facebook unfollow week. I've just, be honest with you, the election stuff, you know, please stop already. You know, I can't believe we're going to be dealing with this until November, and people have literally lost their freaking minds. And so anything that's hateful, anything that is just nasty, I'm unfollowing those individuals. I just can't, if you can't say something nice, I talked about in the last show, don't say anything at all, and I'm there. So, and my news stream on Facebook has cleaned up a lot. It really has. It's gotten rid of all that stuff. So, and I'm sure next week it's just going to be at least for another 7 days, I'm sure it's going to be a crazy nutsoid. So we'll see. And, but anyway, it just, Facebook's not a fun place right now for sure. My daughter's coming in tonight. She's going to be at the house, staying overnight. Got some stuff for her. My wife got her a microwave and a couple other things that she's, you know, I got her something for her 20th birthday, but it's been a few weeks and my wife was a little bit behind, got some other stuff. So, yeah, microwave for her apartment. My wife was over there and was like, she doesn't have a microwave. I'm like, can anyone not have a microwave in this day and age? So when we were at Costco, we got our cheap $59 microwave. Now, nothing real fancy, but at least she'll have something to warm up her leftovers, which was full of what was, you know, in her refrigerator. I'm like, how are you eating leftovers without a microwave? It just kind of made me, you know, I guess most of us that I remember as a kid, the first time we got a microwave, and I was probably 8 or 9 when the first microwave came in. Those things weighed about 500 pounds. It was a miracle, life-changing for all of us. And, you know, there was a time before the microwave, for most of you probably don't remember it, but we're coming down the end of summer here, and Hawaii K-12 is getting ready to go back to school, and we're actually just started an advertising campaign with a company called K-12.com. If you want to check it out, it's K-12.com/listen is the actual landing page on that. Those of you that are doing any homeschool stuff, they're not advertising on this show, but any of your homeschoolers, you may want to check it out. And they've got curriculum and a variety of other stuff. And again, they just started advertising with my company at Raw Voice and a bunch of homeschool style podcasts. So we're excited to have them on. But yeah, K-12, kids are going back. End of summer here in Hawaii. Very, very short summer versus the mainland months where you guys, you know, have at least about another month or so. All right, that's it. Let's go ahead and get into the tech stack. I know that's what everyone needs. Will he shut the heck up, right? So let's see here. Oh, yeah, someone's saying, yes, they have, Todd. Just plain old mean on the political front. I mean, there's a lot of pissed off people out there. And, you know, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right. And you guys don't want to hear it. You guys we're all overwhelmed, right? But you guys want to get mad. You really want to get mad. Tonight, I am very, very disappointed in Verizon. And I actually sent this to a buddy of mine because he's probably one of these dudes. Verizon has basically drawn a line in the sand. And they are, how do we say this without saying it wrong? They're fudging. Or they're going against their word. First reported by Droid Life and confirmed by Ars Technica, Verizon, listen to this, will be shutting off the data hose for unlimited data customers who use more than 100 gigabits a month. All this will only affect people who have been grandfathered into those plans since Verizon hasn't offered them for years. It's the next step in a long series of middle fingers to people who assume that unlimited meant unlimited. And when those folks bought those plans, unlimited means unlimited. So what Verizon is doing, and I don't understand how they can do this. They offered these plans in good faith. These customers bought those plans in good faith. My sister has two separate accounts with unlimited Verizon plans on them. Two. Her husband has one. They're on separate. They're not combined. Two. And they use their unlimited data a lot because they live in a country. They don't have a lot of access. So I don't know where my sister falls in this, but they could lose their accounts because by August 31st, Verizon customers flagged using extraordinary, that's the word they're using, amount of data will be forced to switch to forced, not be told they have to limit their data. They're being forced to switch to one of Verizon's paid tier plans or have their accounts deactivated. Yes, you heard that right. They're going to deactivate their accounts. There's got to be a class action lawsuit here or something. There's got to be, how can they do this? How can they say, nope, you have to go? How can they? If you're curious, today, a 100 gig data plan at Verizon costs $450. You know what I have? I have on my mobile plan, on my MiFi plan, just my MiFi plan alone, for me, Watashiwa, for me, 16 gigs is what I have. I have a 16 gig plan, and I almost use every dime of that because I'm out and about, moving around, different places. I really don't watch it, but I pay dearly for that, right? I think my bill is $127 for that on a MiFi and two iPads. So they're gonna force these people off. Now, this isn't the first time Verizon has pulled a slippery, dirty tactic to try to pull unlimited data users into different plans. Back in 2014, Verizon started throttling customers who exceeded 4.7 gigs of data usage in congested network areas. This is dirty pool. Very, very dirty. And you know what? This tells you that corporate America cannot live by the agreements they have made. They made a bad business decision years before. A bad decision. And guess what? Because they made a bad decision, now their customers, they're going to force and be a jerk and force their customers to switch. They're not giving them a choice. I didn't know you could do that. No, thank you. We don't want your business. Isn't that discrimination? You're a customer in good standing. You're paying your bill every month. You're on a data plan that you signed up for that is legitimate, unlimited. And you're now going to tell them, we don't want you no more. They're going to strong arm people into switching. There would be no way I would do it. I wouldn't. I'd let them sign me. I'd let them shut me off. And then go get a lawyer. Breach a contract. And if they shut off enough people, class action lawsuit. And what they're probably thinking is that, screw them. People aren't going to go get a lawyer. We can play hardball. Everyone will understand. No. Tough. So it has to be a lot of people. So they started 100 gigs. You go over 100, you're on this strong arm to be removed. And I know a guy that goes over 100 on Verizon. So I'm going to be interested to see what, you know, what this, again, this is a guy I sent this link to today. I'm curious to see what he has to say or if Verizon comes to him. And a related note, Sprint, T-Mobile, and AT&T still offer some form of an unlimited plan. Quote unquote, ha ha ha. Got a buddy that's on T-Mobile. He's loving it. He's saying, hey, I'm not having no problem. They're supporting me. It's cheaper. They're not throttling me. Works great. You know, so we'll see what the FCC does anything on this one. We'll see if the FCC goes after them and then Verizon retreats. Love to hear your thoughts on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. Are you one of those? Are you one of those folks? Got 100 gigs over? How much of your unlimited data plan are you actually using, folks? Please tell me. Let me know what you're using. And here's the situation, though. For the majority of people, we're never going to use 100 gigs. But when you're in a situation like my sister is or my buddy is, they don't live in areas where there's wired internet. You know, that's everything is wireless. So when they signed up for unlimited service, that meant unlimited, and that meant and they tethered. They're able to tether their device and be able to get all kinds of access. So, you know, someone says that Verizon's saying that a 100 gigabit data plan is supposed to be shared amongst a large pool of people. Well, you know, I be honest with you, on my mobile phone, which Raw Voice pays for, we've got seven on us with 20 gigs of data shared, and we're always running out. You know, coming very, very close. So again, but it's just for the mobile phones. It's not necessarily for iPads and we're not tethering either. So, interesting time. Naughty, naughty, naughty on Verizon. All right, a Wall Street Journal reporter who covers Beirut and actually has written some pretty aggressive articles that weren't necessarily 100% U.S. positive was... and she's a U.S. citizen. She was flying back to LaGuardia or New York, one of those two airports. And she got into customs. And the Wall Street Journal reporter was pulled aside for, by Homeland Security for secondary screening. It was in Los Angeles. I'm sorry. So they took her side and started asking her a lot of questions. Again, American citizen, reporter, coming home to go to a wedding. Works for Wall Street Journal. And she started being treated pretty brutally by Homeland Security. They even asked her, they wanted to seize her two phones. And that's where she said no. You can't have my phones. I'm a reporter. I'm my First Amendment rights. There's resources on here. There's contacts and there's articles that I have written. The contacts are in this phone from the sources. You can't have my phone. And off they went. And a little bit later, they came back and finally let her go. So why she was eventually spared, she does not know at this point. She is writing a letter contesting Department of Homeland Security treatment of her. But they gave her a document that talked about inspection of electronic devices. Now, I thought we were past this particular... we're going to have to go back and I'm going to have to go back and review some content. But... there is a provision that was put in place in 2013 that allows, I guess it's a USC 1225 is the USC charter, or basically it's the statute 1225 that allows the customs folks to seize your electronic devices, and they can keep them for a reasonable time. And basically, they can go through your phone. And and they don't guarantee you're going to get your devices back. So, if you're an American citizen, you're coming into the country. Obviously, if you carry in weapons or too much money or stuff like that, you're going to get detained. But if they want to, as an American citizen, not as a foreign national, let's be very, very clear here, they can seize your electronic devices for further examination, possibly including copy and data contained in the device. Did you guys know this? In place since 2013? I'd be honest with you, I didn't know. I thought, I understood if you're a foreign national coming in that you could seize, but they don't need a warrant. They don't need nothing. They can just, because you're in this like exclusion zone, that's what they call it. You know, you're in the United States, but you're not in the United States. You're in the customs area that they can take your stuff. Now, she was a reporter. She was worried about having information that she had developed as a journalist. And I guess she raised enough stink, basically, I work for the Wall Street Journal, that apparently they backed off. But they were asking this young lady, and again, I don't know her age. And by the way, she was Arab. I'm assuming this by her name, by her last name. So it's an assumption on my part. But she works and she has dual citizenship, Beirut and United States. So a little surprising to me here, a little bit. But again, this 2013 legislation has very broad powers, and the legislation also circumvents the Fourth Amendment that protects Americans' privacy and prevents search and seizures without a proper warrant. In other words, they don't need a warrant. They can just take it because they feel like it. Maybe I missed this. Maybe we talked about it and I forgot about it. But just heads up, they can take your stuff and there's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do. You can walk out of customs naked and they could care less. So just to let you know, that is potential out there now. Been warning about this for a while. Spotify. They're monetizing off you. If you're a Spotify user, your friends and families aren't the only ones who are able to check out your playlist. The popular streaming service is now the latest platform that's opening its data to targeted advertising. Everything from your age, gender, to your music genres that you like to listen to will be available to third-party companies. That's one good thing about podcasting. We'll never sell your demographics. We'll never sell individual. We will never individually target you in the podcasting space. Now, because you've subscribed to this show, because you've actively played, and you're a geek and you like to listen to tech news, that makes you a great recipient for that type of advertising. We already know that, and we've been successfully executing on that for 12 years, but we're not going to be able to target you individually. But at Spotify, they are. They're calling it programmatic buying. It's a nasty, dirty word because it really is programmatic. The computer picks what advertising you're going to get. So just be aware of that they're selling your information to advertisers. You have now become the product on that service amongst others. Okay. Any of you doing BitTorrent out there? Well, U.S. authorities have seized kick-ass torrent domains. And a gentleman by the name of Artem Volin, who allegedly owns the site, has been arrested and awaits extradition in Poland. U.S. authorities announced that they have arrested him, the alleged owner. A federal court in Chicago also ordered that a bank account and seven names be believed to be associated with KAT be seized. According to the criminal complaint filed by the Chicago court, KAT is estimated to be the 69th most commonly visited website on the internet, and an estimated net worth of over $54 million between all the movies, TV shows, music, video games, and other media hosts for download. Assistant Attorney General Leslie Caldwell says KAT is responsible for unlawfully distributing over $1 billion of copyrighted material. So just like Mega Upload, they're going after this guy, and probably in Poland, he'll probably get extradited pretty fast. Basically, the Assistant Attorney General said that the arrest in Poland proves and demonstrates that cyber criminals can run, but they cannot hide from justice. Why haven't they been more successful in arresting terrorists? That is the question, right? Okay, so if you are a KAT user, they probably have your IP and information and whatever else they've been using to track this site. Oh, by the way, Apple gave this guy up. Apple is the one that provided information, I guess, I don't know, voluntarily or if they did it under warrant, but they were able to see that an IP had specifically done some sort of online purchase, and Apple was the company that pushed the pushed things off dead center, and they were able to identify who he exactly was. If this doesn't weird you out just a little bit, it should. A Michigan professor 3D printed a murder victim's finger to help police unlock the dead man's phone. This is amazing. Again, a Michigan computer engineer professor is helping police crack a murder investigation by 3D printing the victim's fingerprint in order to unlock the slain man's phone. Michigan State University NL Jain was approached last month by police to help unlock the man's Samsung Galaxy X6, which investigators believe held evidence that would solve the crime. This individual, who studied biometric technology like facial recognition, tattoo matching, and fingerprint scanning, agreed to take on what you said was an unprecedented task. So somehow, how they did this, but they say Michigan police sent fingerprint images belonging to the murder victim that they had on file because a dead man had been a crime suspect before. Oh, getting killed. Wow. So they had his fingerprints on file. They were able to digitize the prints and create replicas of all 10 fingerprints. They now face a challenge of simulating electroconductivity of human skin. But this is some crazy stuff. But his team of biometric research, they don't know which hand or finger the murder victim used to lock his phone, so they had to print each digit. So that's pretty weird. But basically, because there's an electric charge on our fingers, they've had to do some crazy stuff to make it happen. But if you think about that, we die. And they're trying to use, and again, they haven't been successful yet. So let me make that clear in case I was unclear at the beginning, but they're trying. But they're working on it. I have no doubt they'll get it figured out and how to unlock this guy's phone. But I guess that's maybe hope for all of us if we need to help someone get in our phones after we're gone. But wow. Anyway, cool. Just make sure your partner or whatever knows your password. That's the key. All right, a passport map shows all the countries you can visit with or without a visa. I'm always, and I know this is quite a departure from the last article, but I'm always like, we're thinking about, let's go on a trip here, do a trip there. And I've looked at the visa requirements, and it's sometimes you have to dig and dig and dig. There's a website now that has all that, and it's called Passport Index. It's at passportindex.org. So if you want to know if you need a passport for China or if you need one for Afghanistan. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be visiting either of those places. because of, obviously, the reason. But there would be a... gives you an idea whether or not you need a visa or not. All right? Link will be up in the show notes. All right, the Rosetta spacecraft, 71 days from now, will end its historic mission by crashing into onto the surface of the comet. They have decided the terminal location of Rosetta, where it's going to be. So for those of you that even care, maybe you don't, but here's the picture of where they're gonna auger it in. Dead center. It's going to make a controlled impact. it's an area known as Ma'at, a dusty and pitted region located in the comet's small lobe. And the region was chosen for its scientific value and in the words of the ESA, was a spot that took into account key operational constraints involved in executing descent. In other words, it was one of only a few locations where the spacecraft could actually be maneuvered. The descent will be extremely complicated. So I don't know if they're trying to land or if they're trying to smash this thing in, or I guess they want to take a look at the dust-covered surface, so maybe they're going to try to land it softly. So we'll see. September 30th is the date that they're planning to do it. So they are going to try to land it gently. And actually, let me roll this browser up a little bit, and you guys can actually... They've got the spot actually circled. It's a little bit, you know, yeah, not a bad spot, I guess. Looks flat. All right, moving on. How many of you back in the day or even now have played Pac-Man? What happens when you get a perfect Pac-Man score? Well, it's pretty interesting. I watched the video. Some dude was able to get to level 256. I think I could get to like level 8 before those Pac-Mans ate me up or I got caught. So I guess there's some dude that's like been able to get to the point where he can, you know, get to level 256 and he found out what happens. Let's put it this way. In that old technology, the board runs out of memory. But I just have, you guys can watch the video and see what happens. It's pretty cool. So my link will be up in the show notes for you to check it out. Apple's been presented with a class action lawsuit filed by customers say the expensive electronics giant replaced their damaged devices with used models. More specifically, the suit filed in Northern California District Court alleges that the Cupertino company has been replacing damaged or defective devices with factory refurbished units that were presented as new. According to the complaint, the grieved customers say the AppleCare service plan should have allowed them to have their device replaced with new units. The class seeks to represent customers who purchase Apple hardware in with AppleCare replacement plan and then receive replacement devices from Apple when their old devices broke. So, according to Apple, they only say like new, not new. The Apple alleges that it means refurbished. Refurbished is synonymous with the term reconditioned. That is, a secondhand unit has been modified to appear to be new for all purposes relevant to the litigation. So Apple's saying, nope, we never promised new. We're going to give you a reconditioned. So have you had something replaced by AppleCare? Did you know that you probably didn't get new? Did it look like new? Did you assume it was new, but did you really know it was new? Huh. Interesting move, yeah? Makes you go, just a little bit. For the cost of AppleCare, I would expect brand new, shiny out of the box new versus reconditioned new. All right, Galaxy Note 7, there's a video of its iris scanner. And this video is short enough. I don't know. I always get weirded out about playing videos on the show, especially when I'm streaming on YouTube, because they shut us down sometimes when they do this. I won't play it, but basically this phone has an unlock by scanning your eyeballs. So instead of using your finger, it looks at your eyes, say, yep, that's him, and unlocks your phone. pretty cool stuff coming to a Galaxy Note 7. All right, moving on. Next topic. Well, scientists are just puzzled just a little bit, and I'm going to be kind of straight up. This scientists have been chasing dark matter for a long time. They really think it's there. But the latest, most intensive search yet has turned up nothing. Dark matter still MIA after most exhaustive search yet. The Lux detector, the team behind one of the most sensitive dark matter detectors, announced its full experimental run had failed to turn up any of the particles it was looking for. The Lux detector, large underground xenon, is designed to pick up signs of weakly interactive massive particles, or WIMPs, when they engage in one of their rare interactions with normal matter. The null results doesn't rule out the existence of dark matter, but it limits potential properties. Now, here's the thing. If something is that elusive, so, you know, we're flying through space. You know, this ball we're sitting on is just absolutely screaming. We're spinning. You know, we're making a loop around the sun every 365 days. So we're covering some space. And they got this little detector deep underground waiting for a dark matter particle to pass through this thing so they can register it, right? And they say that dark matter is supposed to be the most abundant matter in the universe. Don't think so. Because, you know, based on the, let's just, you know, if we think about this for a second. We're flying through, you know, we're on this journey, right? Sitting on this planet. And what happens at night? You know, you go outside, you look up at the stars, and invariably you will see a shooting star. And what is a shooting star? It's a particle, a dirt particle, or a rock, or something that's, you know, that we've run into, or run into us, that, you know, comes in the atmosphere and it burns up. Now it might be space debris, and it could be if we're seeing this nightly, dark matter is definitely not. Of course, now let's be honest. They're trying to, you know, put dark matter down a, you know, receptor probably about big as a basketball. So, you know, it's a pretty small area to shoot for. But if it's still the most abundant matter in the universe, shouldn't we have seen something? Should not makes you wonder just a little bit if the scientists have got a lock on this or not. They think so. A lot of bigger brains than mine are, you know, saying that's the case, but it makes you go, doesn't it? Hey, Mozilla. This is important. Mozilla's Firefox to turn off Adobe Flash by default in 2017. In 2017, Firefox will require click to activate approval from you before you can trigger Flash-enabled videos and other Flash content on a website. Mozilla engineering manager Benjamin Smeedberg said Wednesday in a blog post, that means the Flash content will remain dormant unless you actively click on a link or icon that says activate Adobe Flash. You know, Adobe Flash has been a long necessary feature that enables web developers to offer games, video, and streaming media via the web browsers. But HTML5, which my site and all of Blueberry and all the Raw Voices stuff, we're 100% on HTML5. The Flash thing has long left the train station here. But with all the bugs and all the security issues around Flash, I am not surprised whatsoever with this move. And a very interesting development, the Electronic Frontier Foundation has filed a lawsuit challenging the DMCA's digital lock provision. Okay, so digital lock provision is essentially if you have a mobile device and it's locked and you find a way to circumvent the mobile device being locked and unlock it, if you've hacked it to do it, you actually are in violation of the DMCA. We know there's been some court stuff on this already, but the Section 1201 of the DMCA, also known as the Anti-Circumvention Clause, as we've talked about many, many times on this shows, makes it against the law to manufacture, import, or offer to the public, aka provide or otherwise traffic in any technology, product, service, device, component, part that is designed to circumvent DRM. There are all sorts of problems that we know about this already, including the fact it doesn't matter why you have that tool or why you're circumventing the DRM. It's just that it's illegal. Doesn't even mean if you're doing research, it's illegal. The only safety valve on this ridiculous piece of legislation is there's a triennial review process where people can go in and complain, but it's really never made no difference. But this lawsuit by the EFF and a bunch of lawyers point out that the Supreme Court has long stated that fair use is the safety valve that stops copyright law from violating the First Amendment in regulating speech, but fair use isn't an allowable defense under the 1201, leading to question or not whether 1201 itself violates the First Amendment. So they're going to go after that angle. They're going to go after research, security research as an angle for the law. They're going to go after the triennial review process as part of the lawsuit, and they're going after this multiple different ways, and we'll see where this is going. You know, the argument for 1201 that they're presenting it in this lawsuit is compelling, but you know, 1201 has a lot of problems. So we'll see where the EFF gets on this. They've been very successful in a lot of cases. They haven't lost too many. So I hope they've, you know, done all the necessary homework and are going to move forward here. Hey, Elon Musk basically announced Tesla's 10-year plan. And he went into some details of where they're headed. So I'm just going to give you some highlights here. Master plan in short. He is going to... is this the right one? Oh, okay. I got to back up here because I'm going down to an older one. So autonomous big trucks and smaller on-demand buses. He wants that, he feels that there's two relative small segments of premium sedans and SUVs, you know, that's relatively small segment of going to be their business. But he wants to go after two other types of electric vehicles, heavy-duty trucks and high passenger density urban transport. He said are both in development and should be unveiled next year. He sees them as autonomous vehicles. Others are working on autonomous combustion engine trucks, including Freightliner. And Musk says that Tesla's Semi will deliver a substantial reduction in the cost of cargo transport while increasing safety and make it fun to operate. So, again, we've talked about this where the truck does the long haul by itself, then pulls into a staging area where you have a number of tech truck drivers that take it the last 20 miles or so. So that is one case. Now, whether or not they can put enough batteries in a truck to haul a semi-trailer across the country and go 600 miles without stopping is a whole different situation. But especially if they're going to be autonomous, they don't have to stop and rest. Now, I'm sure truck drivers, they're laughing about this. But also they're talking about a Tesla bus that would also be autonomous, that's going to work in city situations where they're going to be able to, you can order a vehicle and the bus stops at your location to pick you up. I think this is a little bit far-fetched. I don't see where they're going to allow humans to get out of the driving seat anytime soon. But the new Tesla plan backs off from a similar, smaller, cheap Tesla EV. So they're going to be looking at diversifying here. But really what's going on is they want to leverage autonomous driving with some of these some of these technologies that are set for disruption. And they think truck driving, specifically long haul truck driving, and the ability to do a local transport of passengers is where that's at. So we'll see. He's a pretty smart dude, so he wouldn't be talking about this unless he had some weight behind it. All right, those of you that are playing Pokemon Go, here is a enterprising Pokestop shop CEO. And this is awesome. This young lady, she became quite the entrepreneur, and she set up a little stand. So very wisely, she set up three different colors, Team Instinct. What's the other two? Team Valor and Team Mystic. She had a blue, red, and yellow snacks. She had yellow Doritos. She had, yellow Lay's, red Doritos, and blue Doritos, along with blue, red, and yellow cups, along with associated drinks that go with them. And she was at a Pokestop and selling stuff. Smart young lady. I hope she made a lot of money. So this is one lady that will make a few dollars off the Pokemon Go. Well, another person that's going to make a lot of money off Pokemon Go is Apple. It is expected that Apple is going to make up to $3 billion from Pokemon Go alone. If they do, Niantic will have hit the jackpot. The Guardian is reporting Apple will rake in $3 billion in revenue in the next 1 to 2 years as gamers buy Pokemon Pokecoins from the App Store. One pack of 100 Pokecoin costs about a dollar, but gamers can purchase as many as 14,500 Pokecoins for about $100. We believe Apple keeps 30% of Pokemon Go's revenue spent on iOS devices, so this could be huge. And in Ingress, there's only just a few things you can buy. There's just not very much stuff that you can get in Ingress. So the folks at they made some in-game purchases, a good revenue generator for those of you playing Pokemon Go. So good luck to Niantic, and that means the folks at Niantic are sitting on $7 billion. That would be crazy if they actually can make that happen. All right, an interesting piece today that, man, you all were like on this thing big time. I think I got 5 emails today from you folks on this particular article alone. And anytime Edward Snowden's name shows up, you guys like to pull my trigger just a little bit here. And let me get this set up. But it appears that Snowden thinks he's onto something here, and he's using information, that he was acquired while being a traitor to the United States, and he wants to come up with a iPhone case meant to kill surveillance. And basically, this device would warn you when something was happening to your cell phone that isn't supposed to be. I don't fully understand the mechanics, but this is a prototype device that they want to, basically it's a prototype idea of a device they want to make. And he worked with some other hacker to come up with this. Do you really think, let's think about this for a second. Snowden's in Russia, a guest of Vladimir Putin. He's working with a hacker to come up with a device that he wants us to, number one, interface with our SIM by using this device, and actually the SIM card interacts some weird way with this thing, and to give them control of our phone. Who do you really trust? And let's just think about that for a second. Edward Snowden is working with a hacker. Snowden lives in Russia, and they want to come up with something that we are going to plug our devices into. You have got to be kidding me. His concept functions like a battery case that can attach to an iPhone, but also wires into the handset SIM card slot. A small computer in the case will then detect the handset's radio transmissions. Any unusual activity can trigger an alarm. A small display embedded on the case can also show updates. And it has a kill switch to shut the phone off instantly if it detects something going on. How many of you going to sign up, buy it? If you put it on Kickstarter, are you going to go throw the cash in? Would you really buy something that Edward Snowden and a hacker designed? Really? Yeah, right. Not me. This guy has a right to be paranoid, doesn't he? Hackers reportedly selling leaked terrorism watch list. The WorldCheck database is going for reported combined $20,000. This database containing a list of suspected and convicted criminals and terrorists reportedly being sold online. The database is, again, known as WorldClix, is typically sold by Thomson Reuters to a variety of agencies in a bid to offer a screening tool to weed out those who might be involved in criminal organizations. The fact that it exists is strange enough, but the fact that it could be selling online to the general public is really pretty bizarre. The information comprising WorldCheck is taken from a vast amount of public data sources and even includes entries for figures who don't even appear to be charged with terrorism. They're listed within the database. So 10 Bitcoins will get you this list to see if you're on it. If you're on it, you probably know you're on it. Or to see if your buddy's on it, or a friend, or someone you suspect. I don't know if anybody's going to shell out that kind of cash, but 20 grand. I don't know what it costs retail. If the company actually sells it, it's probably more than that. But anyway, that's in Hacker News. The Verge. I got to laugh. They really pounded on this particular device. It's a suitcase attachment for your butt. It's this device. Let me just be straight with you. No one in their right mind is going to be using this. If I see this anywhere, in your travels, if you see anybody use this device, please take a picture and send it to me. But what it is it gives, basically you tuck this into your pants and it has a little hook on it that allows you to hook your luggage to it. And then you can walk carrying your coffee and being on your phone. it's called Mr. Hitch. It's available for $18. And I swear to God, if anybody in this audience buys this, please tell me and please send me a picture with it. And we will give you some sort of prize just for admitting that you did. So I will be in agreement with The Verge that please don't do this. This is a crime against humanity. Remember that guy who built a gun and flamethrower drone? Well, I guess he got in trouble. A federal judge in Connecticut has ruled against a young drone operator and his father. They will now have to turn over a slew of documents and materials part of an FAA investigation. The two men in their legal team argued that the FAA lacks authority to regulate drones, but the FAA clearly disagrees. Of course, this dates back to 2015. The pilot, Austin Hoghot, oh my God, H-A-U-G-H, Watt, is it Hoghot, posted a video of his drone rigged up with a handgun. By early November 2015, the FAA sent a subpoena seeking substantial amount of records, including purchase records and counting of what monies, if any, were gained from the flying gun YouTube video. I guess they thought this was a commercial operation, or where's the angle here? I'm not 100% sure, but they also flew a flamethrower recently, and they want the video on, or they want the data on that too. So we will see what this develops. So see if these guys are charged with some crime, or if they fined, or whatever it may be. I don't know what law they've broken, and that was the point of the fight to not give up the data, because they said, hey, are we being accused of something, or is there something we should know? Is there some statute that we violated. I don't know if they sold these things or if it was a home project or what, but the FAA is not playing whatsoever. Linksys is updating its router app so you can tap to text your friend your Wi-Fi password. So this is kind of cool. How many of you have a password that you really have to go, like, look in a piece of paper, you've got it written down somewhere, or you've got it on your computer somewhere, but they've updated an app so you can, like, instantly share your password with a buddy. I don't think anybody's password should be that complicated that you can't just tell a friend what it is, but this is something that they have updated with the folks at Linksys. Hey, Mitsubishi has recalled nearly 20,000 cars for suspension detachment. So if you have the recall affects the following vehicles: 2002, 2007 Lancer, 2004 Lancer Wagon, 2003, 2006 Lancer Evolution, 2003, 2006 Outlander, and 2007, 2013 Outlander V6. So if you have any of those vehicles in those specific years, Mitsubishi will inspect all recalled vehicles and fix them if they are needed. Matter of fact, I just got my paperwork from Mazda, my CX-9, and a control arm. They finally have parts I can call. I can basically now get mine into the shop and have it looked at. That's been a long, long, long time coming for me. Okay, so if you haven't seen it already, The Verge got a little bit closer look at the NES Classic, along with the package that it's going to be in. So if you're excited about being able to order this, this is what it's going to look like. Again, the 30 classic NES games are going to be included. You get an extra controller for $9.99. So anyway, this is the dealio. This is what it's going to look like. And coming to a shopping experience with you soon. All right. They even got what the actual screen looks like? Can't be. That's just the ad. So, anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes, and, you guys can check it out if you're excited about picking up one of these. I've heard a lot of my friends tell me they're going to pick that particular game up. All right. Facebook, they have, flown their drone. So what they've been building is a drone with 144-foot wingspan that they hope to fly at above 60,000 feet. It's called Aquila, A-Q-U-I-L-A. And the drone itself is pretty amazing. Now, they only flew it on batteries this time. They haven't got solar panels on it. But their goal is to, at some point, be able to fly this drone for up to 90 days and to have it airborne and be able to get high-speed internet connection between the drone and basically distributed internet through laser. So, again, they flew it today. Or not flew it today. Flew it a couple weeks ago. But it just made the headlines and the videos available. I'll have that link up for you to check out. In the show notes. All right. If you are, I don't need to cover this. This is for commercial stuff. Hey, Reddit is shaking up its management in its latest reorganization. Well, what's really going on is Reddit is losing a lot of people. It's been turmoil. There are a lot of key personnel changes been over there. Sources tell our E-Code that this article is on, that the changes may include possible departures of VP of marketing and editorial director. So the company was trying to attempt an in-house BuzzFeed to mine Reddit content, but there's been a lot of people that have left, and there's a lot of talk on it on Reddit. I've been on in some of those forums reading it, but they're trying to change the face of the site, and I don't know if they're going to be successful without ruining it. Hey, with everyone having cell phones today, this guy was videoing an orange McLaren. I don't know how much that vehicle costs. It's got to be huge money. But the guy kind of stopped in a sidewalk, and he caused a skateboarder to fall off his skateboard. And I guess the kid took the skateboard and smashed the McLaren's windshield and then hauled butt while the passenger tried to chase the guy down, but totally destroyed his McLaren's windshield. I'm sure those aren't cheap. Those are curved. But, yeah, the kid on the skateboard was not happy, and they didn't catch the kid on video smashing the windshield, but you can see the imprint, and it definitely looks like he utilized a part of his skateboard that to do it. So anyway, that'll be up. Hey, the Mars rover Curiosity, they've done a code update, and now the rover can now fire its laser on its own, and they can go and do collections on its own without being tasked by NASA. So that's kind of interesting. They basically made it so that it can collect more, which is kind of cool. So link on that. NASA's trying to get more use out of them. Hey, a teen was able to thwart boat thieves with his Phantom drone. He saw someone hauling off his boat, and he quickly launched a DJI drone and chased the boat down. That was under tow. The robbers were towing the boat, and he got a pretty good video of the suspects and the boat, called police, and the sheriff's department were waiting for the boat thieves when they arrived at their destination. So a DJI drone utilized to get thieves in the act and get a direction where they were headed, and the police were able to know who the characters were and went and snapped cuffs on him. It's a momentous day. The last VCR manufacturer in Japan will close shop next month. Hey, they're still selling VCRs. You need a new one? Better buy one soon. Actually, don't worry. There's Chinese companies still making VCRs. So the last VCR manufacturer in Japan will close shop next month. It's basically, they're only selling about 750,000 a year. So, Funai Electrics is, been struggling to source smaller parts needed to build the players, and they're saying, that's it, we're done. VCR has seen better days. And finally tonight, Comcast offer prepaid TV and internet service in areas that they aren't necessarily servicing currently with, and programming areas. So they're going to introduce prepaid TV to attract customers whose credit ratings do not qualify them for post-paid services. Wow. Okay. The service will roll out in Michigan, Georgia, Florida, and Indiana, will extend to the entire country by the end of 2017. So I guess it is where they're currently servicing, but they're just going to go after people with bad credit ratings. I didn't know you had to have a credit rating to get a cable account. That's news to me, because you're always paying. You don't pay in arrears. You pay in advance for cable. They charge them more here. The new offering, which does away with credit checks and annual contracts, lets customers refill their service at any time for a period of 7 or 30 days for $15 and $45 respectively. The price of a TV starter kit starts at $80. The internet kit starts at $80 as well. Huh. Okay. That's new. I didn't know you could prepay TV like that. That's just a little bit weird for me. But I guess anything it gives people that are having on tough times, they can get TV. That's good if they need it. All right, let me go ahead and look and see if we had any comments that come into the show. Let me take a peek. The download YouTube links for Snowden trailer are now available online for those of you who want to go see the movie. And just warning any of you that are active duty military or anyone that currently holds a security clearance, don't know if it's going to be okay for you to go see this movie, especially if they show actual documentation. You could be in trouble. So just be aware of that. Check with your local security officer before you go see the movie Snowden. And yes, that is an actual thing, for those of you out there that don't understand how that process works for the folks that actually hold active clearances today. That's going to wrap me up. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Thank you for supporting my sponsor, GoDaddy. It's greatly appreciated. If you have comments on today's show, any place really, Geek, you can do it on Twitter at Geek News. You can follow me on Facebook or on Google Plus. Drop me a line there. But we definitely enjoy your email feedback when it comes in, whether it be positive, negative, or if you give a show review, whatever it may be. It is definitely appreciated. But thanks, everyone. I hope you have a great weekend. Of course, I'll be on Saturday for the new media show for those of you, if you may be interested, with Rob Greenlee. Other than that, going to be trying to give my 12-year-old some extra dad time this weekend. And his big brother's busy doing other stuff. So he's a little bit bored since he's been home from his grandma's. So I have to step up the game a little bit more. And we're going to do something and do some dad stuff. But other than that, everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.